Lavas, and good afternoon. This is Cass Stutis today with us, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. And of course, presuming the technology is working today, we'll have live streaming audio over the internet worldwide live right now here on KTYM.com. Okay, so you say to yourself, when was the last time that I heard accordion music on independent Lithuanian radio outside of a polka or something? Well, I guess that's how we all associate accordion music. But this fella, Martinas Levetskis, is considered one of the most incredible accordion virtuosos in the world. This guy, Lithuanian accordionist Martinas Levetskis. He's going to be touring the United States with violinist David Garrett in San Jose, Sacramento, Anaheim, San Diego at the Balboa Theater. And anyway, you'll have an opportunity to see something completely different, accordion music that you can appreciate rather than polka and waltz too. And I suppose he'll do some of that too. I don't know. But anyway, Martinas Levetskis, young guy, really fantastic. Look him up at martinasmusic.com. Very easy to remember on the internet. www.martinasmusic.com. Again, he will tour the United States with violinist David Garrett on the 21st in San Jose, on the 22nd in Sacramento, and on the 23rd right here in Anaheim at the Grove. So that's probably your most convenient place to see him, here at the Grove Theater in Anaheim, California. Of course, he'll also be in San Diego at the Balboa Theater on January 26th. But mark down your calendar, January 23rd, the Grove Theater. He will be the opening act for David Garrett on his violin tour. You can also look up davidgarrett.com, U.S. tour, for details and order tickets there. Once again, our very own Lithuanian Martinas Levetskis, locally in Anaheim on the 23rd at the Grove and on the 26th in San Diego at the Balboa Theater. You can make a weekend of it by heading on down to San Diego. This very next weekend, Sosu Ketverta, January 4th, right here at St. Casimir's Parish Hall, will be a special dance performance. Now, I'm going to be doing a little translation here, so bear with me. But a ballet dancer, Mindaugas Božys, very famous, very well-known ballet dancer, Mindaugas Božys and Vilija Putrus. Božys used to dance with the Vilnius Opera and Ballet Theater dancers. He has concerted throughout the world. In other words, he has performed throughout the world, not only in the United States, but in Canada, in Spain, in Russia, and in Denmark. He also has been awarded the Civilian Medal of Honor, Kunigaikščių Gedimino Ordino. He lives now with his wife, Mona Vilija Putrus, right here in the United States, and they run a school. And he also used to dance with the famous Lithuanian dance group known as Žuvėdra. I think you've all heard of Žuvėdra. And also, you'll see four-time European champion, Audis Petro Lavicius, and you can see him at www.aurisdance, that's AURISdance.com, with his partner Alicia Maneva. Don't miss this opportunity to see these four fantastic dancers put on a great performance to you. And you can thank Sigitha for that. And if you want any more information, you should call her at 661-645-2465. Once again, that's this Saturday night at 6:30. Sigibar presents these four fantastic dancers at 6, call 661-645-2465. Get out your pencils. It'll be at St. Casimir's Parish Hall in the upper auditorium, 661-645-2465. This isn't just, playing around. This is serious stuff, serious dancing by serious professionals. Once again, call Sigitha at 661-645-2465 this Saturday night. That's today at 6:30 this evening. Finally, on the 25th of the month, that's the end of the month, January 25th at 8 o'clock, again at St. Casimir's Paris Hall, there'll be a two-part concert starring Ieva Narkuta and Vytautas Landsbergis. You will hear a very popular old-style partisan, Lithuanian nationalistic partisan songs. As a matter of fact, we'll break right now, and we'll play a little of Vytauto Landsbergio partisan songs. The donation is $25. Call Richardas for more information, 323-360-7786, Richard at 323-360-7786. If you've seen or heard Vytautas Landsbergis before, he has a very unique sort of poetic singing style, and Ieva Narkuta and him have done a lot of work together, and it's beautiful, nationalistic, and mostly partisan-themed music. Here's a little bit of Vytautas Landsbergis.
Puta, puta, šiurkštus vėjėlis. Puta, puta, šiurkštus vėjėlis. Bora, bora, manite tušėlis. Bora, bora, manite tušėlis. Цитинес горькие, милос тетушели. Цитинес горькие, милос.
And before we go on with the program, I forgot to mention that in February 7th, Friday at 7:30, the Los Angeles Clippers versus the Toronto Raptors. That means you get to see Jonas Valančiūnas, our very own huge, tall, famous, great, fantastic Lithuanian star. Once again, the Los Angeles Clippers versus the Toronto Raptors. And that'll be, again, featuring our own Jonas Valančiūnas. And that is February 7th at the Staples Center in downtown Los Angeles. This is a great opportunity to thank those of you in the new year who have helped keep the independent Lithuanian radio on the air, and that includes Ruta Habanek. Ruta and I go way, way back, and I tease her about that all the time, and I appreciate her remembering us here. So once again, Ruta Habanek, thanks for your generous donation to independent Lithuanian radio. And I know I've mentioned him before, and that's Lance Williams, but Lance Williams never forgets us and has been very generous to us this year. So thanks again, Lance, for helping to keep us on the air. Well, we're going to keep the weather short today simply because it's reasonably mild, or going to be. Right now, the temperatures in Vilnius are right around freezing, 32 degrees. Tomorrow's high, 38 degrees. But by midweek, Highs will be in the 40s, which is pretty pleasant for January. Lithuania in January in the 40s is good weather, and it's going to barely get down to freezing at night. So if you happen to be traveling out there, be thankful. Well, our neighbor to the north, our cousins the Latvians, have a new currency. Yep, they've finally adopted and officially taken in the euro. The new year has swept out the old and brought in the new, promises and hopes to the Baltic states, but it brings special meaning to Latvia. For those withdrawing cash this morning from cash machines throughout the country, it was no longer the lots one received, that's as of the first, but euros. The long wait, the difficult work through the financial crisis is over as Latvians become the newest member of the euro family. Shortly after midnight and just after the fireworks extravaganza lighting up Riga's sky ended, Latvian Prime Minister Valdis Dombrovskis at a gathering at Citadel Bank in the Old Town section of Riga stood before a huge crowd and withdrew the first euro banknote, a 10-euro note, marking this special occasion. The Prime Minister of Estonia, Andrus Ansip, Latvia's Minister of Finance, Andris Vilks, and President of the Central Bank of Latvia, Ilmars Rimsavits, also withdrew euro banknotes, symbolically marking the event. Dombrovskis said that introduction of the single European currency will give our country, Latvia, a number of economic benefits. It will boost our economic growth, prosperity, and raise our standard of living. It will help us strengthen our national security and welfare. Our milda will now grace the coins of the second strongest currency in the world, the euro. Ansip was greeted by loud cheers upon giving his congratulatory comments, of course, in Latvian. At a press conference immediately following the ceremony, Dombrovskis said that bringing the euro to Latvia was one of the top three priorities of his administration. The other two were overcoming the crisis in Latvia, stabilizing the country's finances, and steering Latvia towards the path of growth. No panic was seen on January 1st, as there were rumors that people were going to withdraw lots instead of euros. So the whole transition was well managed. Now, in the meantime, Grybauskaitė says that if there are no mistakes, Lithuania will adopt the euro in 2015. If Lithuania makes no mistake, it will be able to adopt the euro in 2015, said Dalia Grybauskaitė. Decisions concerning the euro will be made very soon. They will most likely depend on the results this year. If no major mistakes are made in the economy this year, the budget shows that our financial situation is stable enough for adopting the euro, the president said in an interview published in the weekly magazine Vedas on Monday. Speaking about the country's economic situation, Grybauskaitė noted that growth tendencies will help achieve a result for every resident, higher pensions, higher wages, and more. Lithuania is on the growth curve. We're getting our feet above the very tricky 2009-2012 crisis period. Our growth is among the highest in Europe, and this is something to be proud of. The curve will continue for the next 2 years, regardless of pressure or other influences, the president told the weekly news magazine. I truly hope that the growth tendencies continue and help yield a tangible result for every resident. If the current government and the ruling majority make no mistakes in the field of economy and especially fiscal and tax policies, this means the government will be able to gradually begin restoring pensions and raising wages, Grybauskaitė concluded. Now, speaking of Grybauskaitė, I don't know, so I've sort of missed this story in the middle of December. President Grybauskaitė, back on December 14th, met with Professor Robert Shiller. Now, you may have heard of Robert Shiller if you pay attention to economists, because He is an economist of Lithuanian descent who was awarded with a 2013 Nobel Prize in Economics. I sincerely congratulate you upon receiving this most honorable award. I am pleased that your work and the work of other Lithuanian scientists is highly valued globally and achieved international acknowledgement. Gifted, talented, and creative people whose knowledge and enthusiasm stimulate global progress are the greatest treasure of a country and of humanity, added Grybauskaitė. In 2013, another scientist who has Lithuanian roots, Michael Levitt, was awarded the Nobel Prize in Chemistry. There are a total of 10 Nobel Prize laureates with direct ties to Lithuania. The president noted that Professor Schiller's work and scientific achievements are an inspiration to Lithuanian youth throughout the world to study, strive for knowledge, and create a Lithuanian future by persistent work and energy, never giving up. According to Grybauskaitė, in 23 years of independence, Lithuania has become known for its innovation, advanced technology, and scientific development. In the areas of technology and lasers, it is one of the leaders in the world. As a matter of fact, I think, ladies and gentlemen, that one-third of the lasers now sold and used throughout the world are made in Lithuania. Talented Lithuanian youth are known for innovation, widely applied software and mobile applications. And on December 19th, NASA was scheduled to launch two Lithuanian satellites. However, that has been postponed, and we're going to cover that next. In the meanwhile, Nobel Prize laureate Schiller visited at the University of Kaunas, I believe, and was accompanied by his family, his brother, and other Lithuanian relatives. Yeah, and here's a little story about the satellites being delayed. As reported, previous dates were scheduled for December, but had to be postponed due to weather conditions. The launch of the first Lithuanian satellites, which are known as Lituanica Sat-1 and LitSat-1, into space has been delayed into mid-January. As the National Radio reported last week, the International Space Station cannot receive the rocket carrying the satellites due to malfunctions. The launch of the first Lithuanian satellites into space will be broadcast live by National Lithuanian Television, Radio, and the website LRT.lt. That's LRT.lt. And of course, if you have Lithuanian television here in Los Angeles, which you can get by satellite, you'll also be able to see the launch. Now I think it's time for a little bit of more virtuoso accordion music by Martinas. Martinas Levitskis and his virtuoso accordion. And once again, you can see him in Anaheim or in San Diego. Anaheim on the 23rd of January at the Grove Theater, and in San Diego on the 26th at the Balboa Theater, where he'll be opening for David Garrett and his violin tour. Once again, the 23rd and the 26th, Anaheim and San Diego. More information can be found on Martinas Music, Martinas Music.com. So now, in a perverse kind of way, well, I mean, I don't, perverse is maybe the wrong word. But we're going to have a little birthday commemoration, and that is for who was the head of the Communist Party in Lithuania, Antanas Sniečkus. You know, if you're like me, you heard his name in the background in political conversations when your parents and your grandparents were talking about Lithuania, but you didn't know much about him. And I decided this week to look him up. And Antanas Sniečkus was born on January 7th in 1903. So his birthday is right around the corner. And he was the first secretary of the Lithuanian Communist Party from August 1940 through January 22nd, 1974. Antanas Sniečkus was born in 1903 in the village of Bublale near Šake. During the First World War, his family fled to Russia, where he observed the Russian Revolution of 1917. In 1919, his family returned to Lithuania. By 1920, he was already a member of the local Bolshevik Party, or the Communist Party. That back then, they called him the Bolsheviks. In the same year, he was arrested for anti-governmental activities. He was released from prison on bail, but fled to Moscow. Now, see if this is not making any sense to you. Remember Stalin and the purges. He was arresting and rearresting and deporting his own Communist Party members and shooting them in the back of the head. I mean, he was a crazy fanatic. So here you have a guy, the head of the Bolshevik Party, a member of the Bolshevik Party, Lithuanian, arrested for anti-governmental activities. He was released from prison on bail, fled to Moscow, became an agent of the Comintern. In Moscow, he earned the trust of Zigmas Angarietis and Vincas Mickevičius Kapsukas. Now, you've all heard of, many of you have heard of Kapsukas, and became a member of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of Lithuania. In 1926, the Comintern sent Sniečkus back to Lithuania to replace the recently executed Karolis Pojela as head of the banned and underground Communist Party in Lithuania. And I made an error earlier. The Lithuanians had arrested Sniečkus. But from 1926 to 1930, he engaged in subversive activities in Lithuania and was again arrested and imprisoned for them in the Kaunas prison in 1930. In 1933, Sniečkus was released in exchange for Lithuanian political prisoners held in the USSR. In 1936, he returned to Lithuania. In 1939, he was arrested again and sentenced to 8 more years in prison. After the 1940 Soviet ultimatum to Lithuania and subsequent military occupation, Sniečkus was released from prison in June of 1940 and became the head of the Department of National Security. Foreign Affairs Commissioner Vladimir Dekanozov arrived in Lithuania a few days earlier on June 15, 1940, to organize the incorporation of Lithuania into the Soviet Union. As party secretary, Sniečkus issued Vladimir Dekanozov's orders in the party's name. Sniečkus helped create an atmosphere of terror prior to the elections of the newly established by the Soviet authorities so-called People's Parliament, or Seimas, on July 14, 1940. Only the Communist Party of Lithuania and its collaborators could nominate candidates. People were threatened in various ways to participate in the elections, but the results were falsified anyway. And on July 21, 1940, the People's Parliament, so-called People's Parliament, declared that the Lithuanian people wanted to join the Soviet Union. And on August 3, 1940, the Supreme Soviet of the USSR annexed Lithuania into the Soviet Union. The illegal process of annexation was formally over, and the Lithuanian Soviet Socialist Republic was created. From August 15th through 1940 until his death, Sniečkus was the first secretary of the Lithuanian Communist Party. Sniečkus was the initiator of the first mass deportations of thousands of Lithuanians between the 14th and 19th of June 1941. He even had his own brother and his brother's family deported to Siberia, where his brother died. much of the rest of his family fled to the West. Okay, now on the brighter side, Lithuania names 2014 the year of the Battle of Orsha. Have you ever heard of that? The Battle of Orsha. O-R-S-H-A. The Seimas of Lithuania, that's the parliament, this past Monday, adopted a resolution naming this year, 2014, the year of the Battle of Orsha, to mark the, let me see my Roman numerals, 16th century victory against Moscow. Yeah, you've heard it in all those old folk songs and stuff, especially if you were like in Scouts or in a Tetininkai. There were all those old songs about how the Lithuanians beat back everybody, including the Russians. So anyway, this is, again, a resolution naming 2014 the year of the Battle of Orsha to mark the 16th century victory against Moscow. Initiated by a group of representatives of different political groups of the Lithuanian parliament, the resolution was backed by 76 parliamentarians. The decision to name 2014 after the battle was made after taking into account the fact that the upcoming September will mark 500 years, exactly 500 years since the Grand Duchy of Lithuania's army secured the historic victory at the Battle of Orsha and defended the integrity of Lithuanian land. The Battle of Orsha was fought on the 8th of September, 1514, between the Allied forces of the Grand Duchy of Lithuania and the Kingdom of Poland, and the army of the Grand Duchy of Moscow. Now remember, Lithuania and Poland were in partnership then, okay? The battle was part of a long series of Muscovite-Lithuanian wars conducted by Russian rulers striving to gather all the lands of former Kievan Russian Rusanian lands under their rule. Basically, for about 5 or 6 years, the Russians tried to reclaim the land that the Lithuanians had conquered. Remember, Vytautas Didysis, all the way to the Black Sea? And so for about 5 years, they tried to get it back, and that's how long it took them. Ultimately, the Russians marched into Vilnius. That's why in Vilnius you see a couple of Russian Orthodox churches now that are landmarks. However, that's how long it took them. Tiny Lithuania held off Russia for half a decade. Lithuania has also named 2014 the year of Kristijonas Donelaitis. You remember him, Donelaitis, the father of Lithuanian literature. The year of theater, the year of Lithuanian song festival, and the year of children's health. Donelaitis translated the first Latin Bible into Lithuanian. Anyway, Battle of Orsha, 2014, 500 years. We won it. We beat the Russians. The Lithuanians whacked them. And you know something? Would probably whack them again if we had to. You know, interesting little thing, we're running out of time, but I'll tell you a little story. The Lithuanians faked a retreat. It's a famous retreat. It was one of the biggest battles of 500 years ago in all of Europe, if not the biggest. The Lithuanians faked a retreat with their cavalry into the forest. Once they got into the forest, the cavalry turned, and behind them was the artillery, and the artillery wiped out the Russians. Numbers up to 80,000 dead. Russians dispute it. Other historians dispute it too. 80,000 is a lot of people. Could have been as few as 40,000, but still, think about it. 40,000 dead minimum. This is Kęstutis today with us for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. Hope you learned something today on Independent Lithuanian Radio. Tune in again next week. Bye-bye. Closing again with Vytautas Landsbergis. Kurtus krajoji, gal tėviškėlin žinias nešioji, kas tį naujo, kas tį girdėti, toj mylimoj šalel. Kas tį naujo, kas tį girdėti, toj mylimoj šalel. Oi, partizane, vargo sūnelį, kamgi tu klausi tokių žinelių, rumščia vėjai.